The makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Strange are the things that people do. Strange are the things that happen in this room. And the strangest of them are gathered and brought into your home twice a week on this program. Brought to you by the makers of X-Lax, the original chocolate laxative. Have you ever tried X-Lax? Have you ever found out for yourself how mild it is, how gentle, and how effective? Have you ever tasted its smooth, delicious chocolate flavor, such a contrast to nasty-tasting medicines? If you haven't, won't you stop in your nearest drugstore and get a box of X-Lax today? It will only cost you 10 cents, for X-Lax is as inexpensive as it is good. And once you've tried it, we don't think you'll ever use any other laxative again. It seems that people just stay loyal to X-Lax once they've tried it, for more people use it than any other laxative in the whole wide world. 46 million boxes were used last year in America alone.
Rome, transplanted. Under a tree near the East Branch River on what is now Washington, D.C., sits a tall Englishman named Francis Pope. Beside him is his interpreter, a half-breed Indian. Opposite them and across a table is a majestic Indian chief. They are bargaining with each other.
He say more red beads.
But I've already paid him more than the ground's worth.
Good water, good land, more money.
20 more strings of beads, that's all I'll pay. And here they are. Pretty, aren't they?
He say squaw wants green beads too.
Green beads? Why, I've already given you 10 strings of green beads.
Mauninga maja, masha idi. Muxen oya zandi mani nina.
What is all this? What's he talking about?
He say squaw give green beads to daughter. She want green beads.
I haven't any more green beads, I tell you.
No, muji muxen.
Manunina nina nenga, awaya yanmo, zonza mandi, masha idi.
He say he take red beads, yellow beads. He too want that.
What? He wants my red velvet waistcoat? No, never.
No, Mashadi. No red cloth, no land.
Very well, I'll withdraw my offer. Good day.
Mahu, Mashadi, Mahu, Mashadi.
He say he take beads.
I'm not sure that I'm still interested.
He say you give red, yellow beads, he give land.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. There you are. Now give me my deed to the land. Thank you. Good day to you.
Francis Pope.
Well, good afternoon to you, Hampton.
Well, you look very pleased.
I am. Friend Hampton, do you know that I am now the owner of this land on which we stand?
No.
All of it.
A worthy bargain, though I do not think it will ever be worth much.
Now we shall see. I plan to build a town.
What is it to be called?
It shall be called Rome.
Rome?
Yes, and that hill yonder shall be called the Capitoline Hill, and this river before us shall be called the Tiber.
Well named, friend Pope. Odds fish. They'll be saying next, there's a Pope who lives in Rome, America, on the banks of the Tiber.
Strange as it seems, Washington, D.C. was once called Rome. The Capitol Hill was called the Capitoline Hill, and the East Branch was called the Tiber River. The Ghost of Shakespeare. London, 1796. Samuel Ireland, dealer in rare books and old manuscripts, is seated in his office with Dr. Malone, the famous Shakespearean scholar of the day. They are examining a recently discovered letter from Shakespeare to Anne Hathaway.
Thank you. You can see, Dr. Malone, that it is genuine. The writing is identical with Shakespeare's other letters.
Perhaps, Mr. Ireland, but I'm not convinced. The letter could easily be a fraud.
Am I to understand that you doubt my honesty?
Of course not, my dear Ireland. But there have been amazing deceptions.
Not in this case. My son William found this letter. He is a lover of Shakespeare, as I am. He spends all his time going through old libraries, looking for manuscripts of the immortal bard.
Very interesting, especially in a boy of only 17.
We are both looking for an unknown manuscript of a Shakespeare play. If we find one, what a proud day it'll be for me.
I doubt very much the existence of another Shakespeare play.
I am not sure that I like your attitude.
It is my business to doubt, Mr. Ireland. A 17-year-old boy is easily made enthusiastic. Frankly, I'm surprised that you, a reputable book dealer, should believe implicitly in your son's judgment.
Dr. Malone, this is too much. I must ask you to leave.
Very well, Ireland. But someday you may regret your hasty words.
Father!
Ah, William!
Father, the most wonderful piece of luck!
Just a moment, William. We must not keep Dr. Malone. He has no time for our enthusiasm.
Good day, Ireland. I am very, very sorry about this.
Now, William, what have you there?
Look, Father. I found it at last. Shakespeare's lost play.
Actual play?
Yes, Father.
When did you find it?
Just an hour ago. I've been searching for this for months.
Let me look at it. The writing is Shakespeare's, all right. Yes, yes. It looks genuine. Let me see. What is the name of it? Ah, yes, yes. Vortigern and Rowena, a tragedy by William Shakespeare. You have done well, my son. Through you, the name of Samuel Ireland and Son will go down in history as the discoverers of a new Shakespeare play.
Yes, Father.
I must go at once to Drury Lane. I must talk to John Philip Kemble and Richard Sheridan about producing this masterpiece. Come, William, we will go to the theatre immediately. Oh,
very well, Father.
Several weeks pass. Shakespeare's play of Vortigern and Rowena is accepted for production by the management of the famous Drury Lane Theatre. John Philip Kemble and his sister Sarah Siddons take the leading roles. The opening night is crowded with the most famous members of London society. It is just before the final curtain of the tragedy. In the foyer of the theatre stand James Boswell and Samuel Ireland. They are anxiously listening to the reaction of the audience.
My only hope of heaven.
Go, Vortigern, and leave me to my fate.
Beloved, do not send me from thee. You have crushed my heart.
Boswell, what does this laughter mean?
It means, I fear, that John Philip Kemble is playing comedy when he should play tragedy.
That pompous fool. From the beginning, he has doubted that this was Shakespeare's play. I did not think he would be unkind enough to make fun of it.
No matter what Kemble and that old codger Dr. Malone say, I will stand by you, Ireland. You and your son have done a great thing to bring this masterpiece to life.
Yes, I wonder where my son is. All during the play, he has been as nervous as an actress.
The laughter has upset him, no doubt. The play is over. Listen, some wag is calling for the author.
This is sacrilege. Look, Boswell, the ushers are lighting the candles. In a moment, the crowd will be coming out.
Never fear, Ireland. You have many friends.
Kemble was as good a comedian.
But it is no Shakespeare's. I'll never go into the drawing.
Even Sarah Siddons couldn't make that character live.
Oh, Mr. Ireland, I didn't expect to find you here. Ah, Boswell, you here too. And what do you think now of your Shakespeare play?
I think, Dr. Malone, that you are a pompous ass.
I beg your pardon, Boswell. Mr. Ireland, I said from the beginning the play was a hoax, and I still think so.
Enough of your insults. I will meet you tomorrow. We will settle this thing in the only possible way.
My joke, Ireland's challenge
my
Malone
son,
to a duel.
Where have you been?
Father, I heard you challenge Dr. Malone. Please don't do it.
That, William, the honor of our name has been dragged into the dust.
Oh, it's no use. I can't keep it from you any longer. I can't.
What are you talking about?
It's not Shakespeare's play.
What?
What did you hear what the boy said?
Not Shakespeare's play?
Why, whose play is it then?
I wrote it, Father.
You?
Yes. I forged his signature first. I wrote that letter to Anne Hathaway.
I told you, Ireland. I told you the letter was a fraud.
Silence, Dr. Malone. My son, you forged those letters?
Yes, Father.
Oh, but why? Why?
You worship Shakespeare so much, Father. I thought it would give you happiness. It's always been easy for me to copy handwriting. One thing led to another. Finally, I sat down and wrote this play myself. Then I copied it out in Shakespeare's writing and... And this is the result.
I understand. Dr. Malone, I withdraw my challenge.
Very well.
Boswell, how can I ask your forgiveness for this horrible deception?
I can never forgive you, Ireland. Never. My colleagues and I, who have stood beside you in spite of ridicule, have been made ridiculous. Goodbye.
The whole thing is a hoax.
Ireland and his son have made fun of the very dangerous. Why should we...
Strange as it seems, William Ireland, aged 17, forged an entire Shakespeare tragedy, which was actually performed by the finest actors of the day in the leading London theater of Drury Lane. When the hoax was discovered, William Ireland went down to bitter disgrace for the rest of his life, and his father's profitable business of book collecting was ruined. Imitations are always discovered, sooner or later, aren't they? It's awfully hard to try to duplicate the original. Take Ex-Lax, for example. Its great success, it is the world's largest selling laxative, has inspired scores of people to attempt to make a chocolated laxative as good as Ex-Lax. Well, 522 of them have come and gone. The public refuses to accept these imitations. And while these 522 came and went, Ex-Lax went forging ahead and became the biggest selling laxative in the world. 46 million boxes were bought last year in America alone. Try Ex-Lax for its gentleness, its mildness, its ease of taking. It tastes just like smooth, velvety, delicious chocolate. You'll love it. And why ever be content with a substitute when the original costs a mere 10 cents a box? Who was the absent-minded president of the United States? Who was the queen who hid from herself? Both of these strange questions will be answered on our next broadcast. Did you know that you can still see the Oregon Trail? You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. A cigar weighs more after it is smoked.